Welcome to Family Policy Matters, an engaging and informative weekly radio show and podcast produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Hi, this is John Rustin, president of NC Family, and we're grateful to have you with us for this week's program. It's our prayer that you will be informed, encouraged, and inspired by what you hear on Family Policy Matters, and that you will feel better equipped to be a voice of persuasion for family values in your community, state, and nation. Well, thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. If you've been tuned into activities in our nation's capital the past few weeks, you've certainly heard a lot about the so-called Equality Act, a bill that passed the U.S. House of Representatives on February 25th, and that would elevate the classifications of sexual orientation and gender identity to legally protected status, similar to race, color, religion, sex, and national origin in the Civil Rights Act of 1964. We're also seeing a push in cities and counties across North Carolina to pressure elected officials to add these classifications to local ordinances relating to employment, housing, and public accommodations. These are exactly the same types of laws and ordinances that have been used to attack and punish Christian business people across the country, like Colorado cake artist Jack Phillips, Washington State florist Baronelle Stutzman, and many others who are simply trying to live their lives and operate their businesses in accordance with their personal and deeply held religious beliefs. But these radical activist efforts by the LGBTQ plus community go far beyond just trying to cancel Christian business people. Their ultimate aim is to use the power of the government, our government, to force and coerce every citizen in our nation to accept, comply with, and celebrate their behavioral choices, their lifestyles, and their ideology. Well, today we want to share the personal side of this very critical and important issue. You've likely heard a lot about the transgender movement from both sides of the debate, but today we are joined by the mother of a transgender identifying young adult who has bravely chosen to share her family's difficult story. Christy lives in the Triangle region of North Carolina, and she and her husband Kevin are parents to four children. Christy's oldest child, Danielle, began identifying as a male back in 2016 when she was a senior in high school. Since then, Christy and Kevin have sought to love their daughter well while still holding firm to their faith in God and His truth about creation, human identity, and sexuality. Christy joins us today to share her very personal story and to shed light on the incredible dangers of the transgender ideology that has gained such a foothold in our culture. Christy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Christy, as we begin, tell us a bit about your background and your family.
Well, I grew up in Eastern North Carolina in a small town called Fairfield, and I went to UNC where I met my husband, who is from New York. After we got married, we moved to New York, and my husband was attending law school up there, and I was working in accounting for a private equity firm, and I did that until my daughter was born, and then I became a stay-at-home mom. My husband practiced law for a little while and then went on to follow his lifelong dream of working as an investment banker in New York. And he did that until he was ready to retire. And at that time, we decided that we should return to North Carolina to raise our children here and hopefully take advantage of the wonderful universities that we have here in North Carolina. So we moved just as my daughter was starting high school.
So Christy, how did the issue of your daughter's gender dysphoria first come about?
Well, she came in one night when I was cooking dinner and just said to me, "Mom, I'm transgender. I'm a boy. I've always been a boy and I need to start transitioning." And this was during her senior year of high school. It came out of the blue. She had had a normal girl childhood and done all of the typical things that girls do, from playing with baby dolls to watching Hannah Montana. She loved the boy band One Direction, just, you know, as a typical teenage girl up until that senior year. And She had become friends with another girl that was already identifying as transgender. And she just quickly wanted to start transitioning. She started wearing boys' clothing. She had cut her hair short. She was claiming to be a lesbian. And that year when she was at home was very, very difficult. I had many conversations with her. We tried to get help for her from therapists, and it turned out to really cause more harm than good. But it was when she went away to college, and she did go out of state, when things really fell apart. She was insisting on starting medically transitioning. And at that point, she was 18 years old. So my husband and I really had no say-so in what she was doing, but we did try to convince her to wait at least until she graduated from college before she took any type of medical steps. And she didn't want to wait. So through the help of a former friend of mine who's a social worker in New York, she set up a GoFundMe that would help her pay her college tuition and start medically transitioning. So when she did that, she became a celebrity overnight, and she left our family. We had only asked her to wait until she finished college, and she refused to do that. So she started taking testosterone. And within 6 months, she had started growing facial hair. Her voice had dropped. That was in 2018. So we've been estranged from her for 3 years. And she has recently had her breast amputated. My family is very upset about what she's done. There's nothing really that we can do to stop her, especially when there are so many cheerleaders out there trying to encourage her to keep going down this path of self-destruction. Mm.
Well, that's incredible. And thank you for sharing that. I know it's difficult to talk about, but you've been gracious enough to share your story with us previously. And I know that you work with some ministries that seek to provide assistance and support to families in similar situations. I'd love to go back a little bit and just sort of unpack some aspects of what you've shared in your family's story. So you said the change in Danielle seemed to come about pretty abruptly, pretty suddenly when she was in high school, and that she was hanging out with at least one friend who identified as transgender. What other influences do you believe had an impact in that?
I would say the internet was 100% a major influence in her coming out as transgender. She spent a lot of time on those social media sites like Tumblr, Reddit, Instagram. There are so many people out there that are doing this, and it's unfortunate because these children are just vulnerable kids who are trying to find their way in the world. And, you know, with our culture that we live in, there's such a push to identify as something. And for a teenage girl who maybe isn't fitting in with the popular crowd at school, she's trying to find her way. And I think that was definitely a big part of it. And she was also suffering from depression and had a lot of anxiety, just knowing that she was about to graduate and go off to college. But also at her school, there was a Gay Straight Alliance that she had become a member of as an ally. And I think that there was a lot of influence there as well.
So, Christy, on that note, what actions did you and your husband take to try to help Danielle address this issue of gender dysphoria that she was struggling with?
We had many conversations with her, trying to figure out why she was feeling this way and to help her through it. We also immediately sought the help of a therapist that could question why she felt this way and help her figure it out. That therapist turned out to be affirming, which really just validated her thoughts and made it harder. We also took her to a doctor to get some medication for depression and anxiety. That really didn't help. And within 20 minutes of talking to that doctor, the doctor was calling her by her preferred name and the male pronouns. And it really just blew my mind that a medical professional could sit there and see that she's a girl, but yet the doctor was calling her by the male pronouns. We also talked to school administrators. I spoke to two different deans at the university that she attended, and I spoke to my priest. I talked to any politician that would listen to me. I sent emails. I really felt like there was no one out there that wanted to help me. I eventually did find a wonderful support group in a prayer group. And these prayer warriors are praying for my daughter and all of these children that have fallen prey to this transgender epidemic. And on top of that, I joined a support group for parents of ROGD kids.
And ROGD is rapid onset gender dysphoria?
That's correct. So rapid onset gender dysphoria is a term that was coined by Dr. Lisa Lippman, who is a professor at Brown University. But she basically coined this phrase, rapid onset gender dysphoria, because these are people who never showed any type of gender identity disorder prior to puberty. So there has been some pushback on this whole idea that there is a new crop of kids that are ROGD, but the evidence is there. And the statistics show that there has been a 4,000% increase in the number of girls that are coming out as transgender all of a sudden. And our daughter definitely came out suddenly. We didn't know how to stop her because it was just so powerful. The more that we talked to her about it, it was almost like she dug her feet in and went deeper into this. It's very frustrating, and it's also very isolating because I had kept it a secret. I didn't tell anyone, not even my mother, whom I share everything with. So it does affect the whole family. My three sons have certainly been negatively affected by it. Probably my oldest son has been affected the most. And he's only 2 years younger than my daughter. They grew up together. And it's just very hard because he can't get away from it. And he has those special memories of times when he and his sister would just go out for a drive or when they were working together. And she's left our family and they feel like they've been abandoned. They were also taken by surprise when she came out. And so they're hurting. They're really hurting. And as teenage boys, you know, they don't really share their emotions very easily. So I do think that they're holding a lot in. There's a lot of anger and grief that they just don't know how to share.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters. This has been part one of a two-part series featuring Christy, the mother of a transgender-identifying daughter. For more information about the transgender issue, you can visit our website at ncfamily.org and click on the Parent Resource Guide banner in the middle of the page. The Parent Resource Guide is a comprehensive and detailed resource for parents, educators, and individuals who want to learn more about the dangerous transgender movement in our nation. Be sure to tune in to Family Policy Matters next week as we continue our conversation with Christy. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and your family.